you will hear an interview with Lara Baum about her family's year in an eco house. For questions 1 to 7, choose the best answer, A, B or C.
Lara Baum and her family live in Bern in Switzerland, and they've just taken part in something called the One Ton, One Year experiment. Lara, how did you get involved in the first place?
I saw the One Ton, One Year experiment advertised online. They were looking for a family to live in an eco house for a year. At first, I wasn't sure. It sounded like it could be stressful. But then the more I read about it, the more I wanted to contribute to something worthwhile. Along with lots of other families, we applied to take part, and we were the lucky ones. Our name was the one they pulled out of the hat.
So can you tell me about the experience?
The objective of the experiment was for us to live in this incredibly high-tech home that produces almost zero emissions. We had to move into the house for 12 months and try to produce no more than 1 ton of carbon dioxide per person by living a very green lifestyle. It sounded simple enough, but it ended up being fairly tricky to meet our emissions targets and to do all the things we need to do in our daily lives. The eco house helped, of course, but we still had to make lots of adjustments to our lifestyles and habits. Having said that, we did have a good laugh.
You said your objective was to produce up to 1 ton of carbon dioxide per person per year. That sounds like a lot of carbon dioxide to me.
Well, a ton of CO2 sounds a lot, but the average Swiss person produces 7 tons every year. That's a lot less than, say, the US, Canada or Australia, where the average person produces over 15 tons of CO2 every year. And that's just the average. Some people produce way more. In other parts of the world, people produce much less. The average in Brazil is just over 2 tons. And in India, it's about 1.5 tons of carbon dioxide per person per year.
How do these 7 tons of carbon dioxide add up?
Transport is a major factor. Carbon dioxide from personal transport is closely followed by flying abroad for holidays. The food we eat is another major factor. That's not just its production, but also the packaging and transportation to shops. But the most significant contributor is the carbon dioxide from heating the home, cooking, electricity for lighting, and charging devices.
Tell us what the eco house was like to live in.
Well, eco houses are fairly small, so you don't need much energy to build them or to run them. It makes sense environmentally, but we really had to get used to squeezing in. It was comfortable enough, apart from that, and at least the sofa was lovely and soft. It's made with modern materials which have the effect of keeping the heat in during the winter months and staying nice and cool when the sun's out. All the power came from huge solar panels on the roof, so we didn't have to spend a penny on fuel either.
Did you have to change your diet at all?
Yes. For a start, we only ate local food. Fresh food is often transported thousands of kilometres from the other side of the world, which produces masses of carbon dioxide. Far too much energy is also used in meat production and on dairy farms. You get better energy efficiency producing vegetables, beans, and grains. That's why, after a while, we also stopped eating meat and dairy products. Vegetarian food is better for you anyway. I liked being vegetarian. In fact, I might continue as a veggie, but my dad hated it.
How do you think the experiment went overall?
Well, the eco house made it surprisingly easy to keep our carbon footprint small. We had the internet at home, but apart from computers, we didn't use much electricity. I really missed my hairdryer, though. We used bicycles and an electric car instead of our old petrol car. And then there was the whole diet thing. Having to make those changes was weird initially because we had to really think about our everyday needs for the first time. But once we'd got through that stage, I'd say the low-carbon lifestyle was positive for all of us in different ways.